Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to today's Issues on American Family Radio. Thank you for listening. Tim Wildman here with Walker Wildman. Dr. Ray Pritchard is co-hosting with us. How you doing, Ray, again?
Doing good, Tim. Doing
and real good. Steve Jordahl.
Good morning, afternoon.
Is sitting in the place of where Fred Jackson was a few minutes earlier. Steve's one of our newsmen in the AFR news division.
I am. I'm proud to be.
Hey, by the way, before we jump into the news, I was seeing a story on Breitbart.com where it says Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison has ordered his own department to remove gender-neutral signage on bathroom doors, lambasting them as, quote, ridiculous, end of quote. This is the top guy, right, Ray?
Yes.
Prime Minister.
Right.
He also called the signs on the bathroom doors, which say go to either one you want to. He says that's political correctness, not necessary, over the top, and he's going to change it. So, what it said? I guess this is it's the prime minister offices across the country of Australia. I guess he saw this and thought. And that's what he's talking about. It's ridiculous. It says below the women's, there's a men and women, still men and women's signs for the restrooms. This is in Australia. But it says PM&C, I guess that's Prime Minister and whatever, is committed to staff inclusion and diversity. Please use the bathroom that best fits your gender identity. That's what he's calling ridiculous. And so...
So he's going to have that part taken off. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yes. He's going to have that part taken off. He calls it's ridiculous. And he's right.
He's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's right. And, we'll see. He'll get hit hard by the LGBT, groups. But we'll see if he holds firm to that. Steve.
Yes, sir.
What do you got for us, my brother?
Let's start with just some clearing up some stuff and an announcement, okay? We're going to do this. You know that Kirsten Gillibrand dropped out of the presidential race yesterday.
Who?
Kirsten Gillibrand.
Who?
Yep. She wasn't going to make the debate.
She's a senator. She is a U.S. senator from the state of New York.
Yes.
That she did earn that vote from the New Yorkers, but she's not known nationally, so she's dropping out. But most people don't know who she is in the first place.
Right. But there are still 20 Democrat candidates, according to the Axios website. There are still 20 Democrat candidates that are in.
Do you want to go down the list,
nope,
Steve?
I do not.
Okay, good.
There are four possible.
Walker and Ray and I are going to do something else.
No. And there's a whole ton that are dropped out or are not running. It's a little easier, and this is the clarification, a little easier on the Republican side. On the Republican side, they've got three candidates that are running, Donald Trump, Joe Walsh. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. He's,
we got it.
I know. And Weld.
He used to play for the Eagles, but he's going to run for president.
Yeah. It's standing on the corner in Tucson, Arizona, looking.
That wasn't
for
his song. He drove the Maserati.
Ah.
Says 185.
Well, that's true.
He lost his license.
So now he can't drive.
Yeah, I'm so completely lost now.
don't know that song?
I don't think so.
Bum, bum, bum,
okay.
Bum.
Okay, anyway.
So two, Ben Sasse and Sanford are possibles. But here's the announcement. Two are not running. They are Kasich and Larry Hogan.
John Kasich.
Right. And Larry Hogan. Him. And a third person, I am announcing today that I am not running for president.
Okay, good.
Glad you clarified that.
I just wanted to make sure
we were floating around.
I know. Right. So there you go. Hey, let's start with a little bit of the craziness going on the left. It's getting harder and harder for me to understand how someone...
Although you try, Steve.
I do. I try my best. And I don't mean to offend anybody by this statement, but how somebody that honors Christ or honors our country can still be part of the Democrat Party. It just seems they're going further and further away from those things that are essential to being Christian and to being patriotic. I want to play you two examples. This first one is a former Santa Barbara City College professor, Celeste Barber. And you may remember, this came out a little while ago. I'm going to play a clip. She is being booed while she says the Pledge of Allegiance.
Where is this?
This is at a Board of Trustees for Santa Barbara, California, City College.
Okay.
The news is that she is now suing the college because, and she'll explain why. Let's hear clip three.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands.
That's all right. Point of order. Come on. It's ridiculous.
What brought us to this point is the college thus far has refused to acknowledge that my civil rights were violated that day and that nobody stood up to defend me and, more importantly, to defend the First Amendment of the Constitution. One of the things I learned about my community in Santa Barbara is there is a very vocal group of folks, veterans, ordinary citizens, retired people who came out who were incensed that the Pledge of Allegiance right. and an individual person would be assaulted in this way. And they came out and they spoke out and they've been reciting the Pledge of Allegiance ever since.
So you may remember that. So she's suing. She wants to get some justice. She wants at least to have the policy.
It sounded like they cut her mic off there. They shut down her speech when she was saying
right.
the Pledge of Allegiance.
Right.
Who is out of order? The people shouting her down or her?
Well, she was ruled out. They were booing her.
Right.
And as far as out of order, I don't know which. The board had made a decision that the pledge was not going to be.
Is this like a? Is this equivalent of a city council?
Yeah, it's like
it is for the college.
City council. Yeah,
it's a
meeting. It's a meeting.
It's a meeting of the board of trustees at a public college.
You call it to order.
And what you're saying is, they routinely in the past had the Pledge of Allegiance, and then they decided not to have it anymore, right?
Which upset Ms. Barber,
sure.
Celeste Barber. So she came. And she's just, but during her time to address the council, she decided to say the pledge.
Yeah.
And just got all kinds of
wow.
pushback. But that's not the worst of it. I want you to listen in a little bit to what happened at Beto O'Rourke's stump speech. This is last night or the night before. This is going to be a little hard to hear.
This is about the last Beto O'Rourke stuff I want to hear.
Well, yeah, I mean,
the dude is like under 1%, right?
Yeah, but you're not going to hear a lot of Beto in this. This man stood up with a microphone, and I'll tell you what he said. I want you to listen to the reaction. He said that the only thing that can save America is the Lord Jesus. And he said to Beto, you as a leader of this country are responsible for the country. Listen to the reaction of the Democrats in the room. This is
the God. Only thing that can save America.
You got it.
Is the Lord Jesus.
They are booing Jesus.
Yeah.
Wow. They didn't want to give him a moment to say anything about mm-hmm. the Lord.
No.
That shows where some in the Democrat Party are. That shows where they are, which explains why they feel comfortable booing God at the convention. Remember at the DNC convention
right.
years ago?
Mm-hmm.
They booed God out of the convention. And so
the thing that bothers me about this is that you say some in the Democrat Party, and yeah, there must be some that don't feel that way, but the reaction wasn't from leaders in the Democrat Party, those that are going left and having
right.
to do a vote. This was from just general voters that came to a stump speech.
Yeah, like your neighbors.
Right.
Yeah, but in all fairness, when you go in one of these political meetings, for anybody. You're going to have people of all kind. You're going to have all kind of people. Yep. So somebody's going to say something that somebody's going to disagree with. They're going to boo. But the broader issue here is, I would agree that Christianity, Christians in particular, are not welcome in the modern Democrat Party. If you believe things like pro-life, if you believe in traditional marriage, if you believe in the free enterprise system,
right,
those kinds of things, that those ideas are under attack in the Democrat Party. They're not welcome, no matter if you're a Jew or a Christian or whoever. I see what you're saying. Next story.
All right. It's not
have
a
you
good...
talked about. We haven't talked about this yet, by the way.
Yeah, I'm going to do that right now.
Okay, go
I'm
ahead.
Do that right now. I'm going to start, though, with this. The New York Times is blaming President Trump for the fires in Brazil. Let me read a tweet that they put out. Fires in the Amazon are deliberately set to clear land for agricultural use. The practice is driven by global demand for soybeans and cattle. The fires are likely to worsen in part because of demands for soybeans increased by the U.S. trade war with China. That would be President Trump's dealings with China.
Huh?
Yeah.
Whoa.
I got a Scooby-Doo right there. Huh? that was a poor Scooby-Doo.
Huh?
Hold on just a minute, Steve.
Yes, sir.
Hold on just a minute. That you're telling me that the New York Times said this?
This is right from the New York Times. Dan McKay probably tweeted it himself.
They're basically blaming President Trump, Ray, for the fires in the Amazon region.
You got to work hard to do that. I mean, give him an A for effort, not yes. for logic. But you got to start with the Amazon. You got to get to soybeans. You got to throw China in there. You got to do all of that. So you can say Trump at the end and it's his fault.
Yeah.
That's right.
And let's see, they close by saying Trump is a racist pig.
they might as well have.
They might as well, right.
That seems kind of forced.
doesn't it?
To me.
Soybeans.
I was joking about that part. But they don't say Trump is a racist pig. Well, here's what the New York Times says, as Steve just said. Fires in the Amazon are deliberately set to land... to clear land for agricultural use. The practice is driven by global demand for soybeans and cattle. The fires are likely to worsen in part because of demands for soybeans increased by the U.S. trade war with China, i.e., this is Trump's fault.
That's exactly
They might as well have said we have secret pictures of Mr. Trump down there setting the fires himself.
Right.
I mean, yeah.
We played a clip saying that the U.S. was guilty for all the violence in the Central America. And for the drought in Honduras. So.
Yeah, no wonder.
Yeah,
people,
they've tried to link. Not, I'm talking about not just the New York Times. Talking about the media in general. They've tried so hard to make these tariffs stick in a negative way on Donald Trump, but they have to. They literally have to make up stuff to get even the made up stuff to stick, and it even doesn't thin.
I know.
And you know they've been saying for months now that the trade war is hurting American consumers. Prices are skyrocketing. But then you look at the prices and the inflation rate, and it's not going up above normal.
Right.
You know, it's like 1% or 2%.
What is this that Lawrence O'Donnell got in trouble with?
Oh, that's the second thing that the media, MSNBC, is having a bad day. Not an unusual thing for them if you look at their ratings every day.
Well,
there's
27 people watching MSNBC right now. right now.
27 influencers.
That's right.
Influential people.
And one of their stars... is Lawrence O'Donnell, right?
It is. His name is Lawrence O'Donnell. He's a reporter, and he came breathlessly onto the Rachel Maddow show the other day with a scoop, and I want you to hear his scoop. This is cut six.
This single source close to Deutsche Bank has told me that Donald Trump's loan documents there show that he has co-signers. That's how he was able to obtain those loans, and that the co-signers... are Russian oligarchs.
What? Really?
That would explain, it seems to me, every kind word Donald Trump has ever said about Russia and Vladimir Putin, if true. And I stress the if true.
Yeah, and immediately after
that. Was
that,
2 nights ago.
That was.
Okay.
And immediately after that, a dozen liberal outlets retweeted that.
Sure.
And everyone had if true.
Okay, then what happened last night?
Well, last night he opened his own show with this.
Last night on this show, I discussed information that wasn't ready for reporting. I repeated statements a single source told me about the president's finances and loan documents with Deutsche Bank, saying, if true, as I discussed the information, was simply not good enough. I did not go through the rigorous verification and standards process here at MSNBC before repeating what I heard from my source. Had it gone through that process, I would not have been permitted to report it. I should not have said it on air or posted it on Twitter. I was wrong to do so.
Oops.
Well, I guess at least he apologized.
It was kind of a non-apology. Didn't say it was wrong. He just said, well, we don't know.
See, this is the part that's so frustrating, is that if somebody on Fox went out and said that Barack Obama was colluding with the Russians and the oligarchs were signing his bank loans, and that turned out to be fake, they would be fired immediately, and they wouldn't be able to find a reporting job anywhere else. But MSNBC gets to do this, and they do a little half apology the next night, and then they move on with no further repercussions.
Lawrence O'Donnell said this afternoon, this is yesterday, attorneys for the president sent us a letter asserting the story is false. They also demanded a retraction. Tonight we are retracting the story. We don't know whether the information is accurate. But the fact is we know it wasn't ready for broadcast, and for that I apologize. I guess the larger point here is too that when President Trump calls it fake news, or calls the news media the enemy of the people, it's not without substance that he does that, because this kind of thing happens all the time. All the time within the news media, the liberal news media, and especially as it relates to conservatives are going after President Trump, they'll throw stuff out there. Remember immediately when they came out with the story about the young kid from Covington Christian School on the mall in Washington and showed the picture of him and that Indian man
with the drum, right?
With the drum, and remember how they immediately said it was some white kid, going after an elderly Indian man. As it turns out, wasn't that at all. It's quite the opposite.
Right.
After the full story was known and the full video was shown, well, the news media all latched onto that immediately and spread it around the world. But I'm just giving you one other example of how this kind of stuff happens on a regular basis. You're listening. Did he used to be on NBC?
Right?
Do you know? Lawrence O'Donnell?
Yeah, I don't know.
He's on MSNBC, which is the news station of NBC, basically, the 24-hour news station. The MSNBC, they're on life support right now.
Right.
In terms of their viewership after the Russian collusion story just faded or melted away. They had nothing. They got nothing left. And after President Trump, either loses or is out in 4 or 5 years from now, I don't know where MSNBC goes for ratings.
I think the press, the liberal press, the mainstream media has damaged themselves beyond repair.
Yeah.
I don't think they're ever going to have the prestige that they once did.
Yeah.
Fox is number one in the ratings. CNN's two now. Is that right? And CNBC's three? I'm not CSNBC, but MSNBC is three. All right, go ahead, Steve.
Just a little bit of breaking news. This happened right about the time we started today's issues at 10 o'clock Central, 11 o'clock Eastern. A 6.3 earthquake was recorded just off the coast of Oregon, Central Oregon. No immediate reports of damage or injuries, but whenever you have something in the ocean, you always worry about tidal waves and that kind of stuff. So. Yeah, just to let you know.
6.3
is that's a big one.
Yeah. You speak up there somewhere, don't you, Ray?
Yeah, no, I'm looking. It's Yeah, it's right off the coast of Oregon. It's kind of the central region. I speak at Cannon Beach, which is
a
conference
place.
Center right, as you know, Steve, it's right on the Pacific coast.
It is. It's a gorgeous place, too.
I don't know. I'm noticing a theme here with you, Ray.
Following trouble or is trouble following me?
You know,
I'm not
you
sure.
Speak out in Oregon, they have a 6.3 earthquake, and now you're going to Central Florida, and they got a Category 4 coming in.
Right, right. But since the program started, I mean, in the last 90 minutes, while we were talking, I changed my flight from Monday to Sunday. So at least I'll get in.
Okay.
Whether I get out or not, who knows?
Okay.
All
right.
Look at you. I want to introduce you to a guy named Vince Rosmierek, who lives in Indian Hills, Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
He has become kind of famous. He has a sign that he kind of controls and owns at the beginning of the town, and he's been putting up dad jokes.
Been putting up what now?
Dad jokes.
Good.
You know, so okay. let me give you a couple. What do you call a hippie's wife?
A hippie's wife.
I don't.
Mississippi.
Jetly, man.
Sunflower.
Mississippi.
I don't get it, but so
Mrs. Hippie. Mrs. Hippie. I get it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Keep going. You're on a roll.
Yeah, okay.
You're on a roll, Steve.
All right, that's a three.
Coming soon.
On a scale of 1 to 10.
Coming soon. Star Wars 12. Luke needs a walker.
Okay, good. I like that.
Uh-huh.
I resemble
that. We got
that.
4 minutes.
I tried calling the Tonight is Helpline. No answer. It just kept ringing. And then.
Oh, gosh.
If a cow doesn't produce milk, is it a milk dud or an utter failure?
Oh, well. He'll be here all week, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, I will.
Okay.
Right. All right. To the last thing I wanted to do.
Utter failure.
No wonder you didn't bring that up in the story meeting.
No, I
didn't.
That
would have got shot down so quick.
It never would have been there.
He was going to spring his comedy on us.
Yeah, Steve pulled out. And I got a few more things I'll bring.
A few more things. That's right.
Right. Exactly. All right. Well, this did get approved. Faithline Proclaim is a group that kind of tracks music in churches that helps license praise songs and everything. And it has listed the top five praise songs used today in churches. And I wanted to see if you knew any of these. This is the number three song. And it's called Who You Say I Am, number 10, cut 10.
Who the sun sets free, who is free.
You know that song?
Okay, yeah.
That's the number three. The number two worship song is called Beautiful Name, number 9, cut 9. Okay.
What a beautiful name it is. Mm-hmm. What
song.
A beautiful
very familiar
name.
With that one. Yeah.
And the number one worship song is a song that we don't sing at our church, so I don't know that I'd ever heard it. It is called Build My Life. This is cut 8.
Yeah, we play.
Do we do that at your church?
Yeah, we play that one at our church.
Those are the top three songs, the worship songs played at church. Yeah. Now, you know.
Those are wonderful praise songs.
They are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Amen. All right, Ray, I guess you're are you going to be on with us Tuesday?
I'll be floating down the middle of the road on Tuesday morning.
We'll see Ray floating down the middle of the Main Street in the Magic Kingdom.
If you see me on Fox News, that's not a good sign.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Ray. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Tim.
Steve?
My pleasure.
Walker, appreciate your contributions. And Brent Creeley and Fred Jackson as well. Thank you for listening to AFR. Tomorrow is Trivia Friday. So we'll see you back here then. We'll have some fun. Stay with us. Keep listening to AFR.
Parental rights.